Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Philadelphia, baby. It went for Trump in a big, big way. No, he didn't win the city, but just like I told him on election night, he did really, really, really good in Philly. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Instagram Zeoli Show. Facebook Rich Zeoli. I'm doing my best to, follow all of it on social media. I apologize because I have the attention span of a gnat. And so for that reason, I tend to sometimes forget to check. So I apologize, but I'm trying. I swear, I really am trying. So just checking out got this new camera for the home studio and it follows me. Look at that. Pretty neat. Well, actually, we're not streaming right now, but we were streaming earlier and I was doing it. I'm just like a toy and I love it. Anyway, a couple things to get to. First of all, did you get your tickets yet for Politics and Pints with Jimmy Failla? It's coming up Thursday night. It's going to be a blast. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to. We're going to laugh. We're going to have fun. We're going to celebrate Trump's victory. It's going to be a great night. So it's Wednesday night, the 13th. Wednesday the 13th, very famous day, at the Media Theater in Media, PA, and it starts at 7:30 p.m. Tickets will sell out, absolutely. So go to 1210WPHT.com. right now to get your tickets before they are gone, all right? Fela is a rock star, and the two of us get together, it's just pure and utter chaos, so make sure you do that today. A couple things I wanted to get to. First of all, Trump's crushing, decisive mandate victory, just crushing everything. And I understand that the Democrats are perplexed. They can't understand how this monster could have won. You know what I mean? Like they can't understand it. How could this monster have won? And I'll tell you what it is with Donald Trump. I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's that Donald Trump relates to the working man and the Democrat Party does not. The Democrat Party is the party of the elites. Bernie Sanders said it best. Bernie Sanders said it. He said the Democrat Party gave up on the working people and they chose celebrities. Nobody gives a damn about celebrities. In fact, I have an article about this today. How Kamala killed the celebrity endorsement. I got news for you. The celebrity endorsement was dead a long time ago. No one gives a damn who Cardi B backs or Taylor Swift backs or anybody else. I don't care. Look, I love the Avengers movies. I don't give a damn if Robert De Niro or Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, Don Cheadle. I don't care if they all back Kamala Harris. It has no bearing on me. None whatsoever. It means nothing. Just like, by the way, with all due respect to Dennis Quaid, I'm happy that he was backing Trump, but it didn't have an effect on me. Like, it doesn't matter. Celebrities are not that important anymore. They're just not. I don't know if they ever were, but they're certainly not now. Because when you look at these people, you think to yourself, for the most part, they're making a ton of cash. They don't know what it's like. They can't relate to somebody making $35,000, $65,000 a year, has got a family and is busting their hump every day. They can't relate to those people. And so they just see the things about Trump that the typical left elites see, which is this caricature of a man that they've created. And they don't understand how somebody who works in, say, the energy industry or drives a truck for a living or changes tires for a living could like the guy, but it's because he talks to them about the economy and because they want to be successful one day. They don't want to struggle. And when people who are super successful tell you who to vote for, you're like, I didn't ask. I didn't ask you who you're voting for. I know who you're voting for. I don't care. That's the thing about the celebrity endorsement. Taylor Swift, when she came out and endorsed Kamala Harris, and all these people were like, oh, my God, Taylor's backing Kamala. And then, of course, all the jokes. You know, she's written all these songs about her wrong choices, the people that she's dated and everything. Reality is no one cares. No one cares who any of the celebrities back on either side. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Celebrities are no different than you and I. I remember one time I heard this great phrase from a guy who was a janitor. He said, these celebrities put their pants on the same way I do, one leg at a time. And they're just, you know. But Trump did really well in Philadelphia. And looking at the results of this, and when he called the other night and we were talking on the show, and I was reassuring him about Philly, and I was saying to him, Mr. President, you're going to do very well in Philadelphia. And he did. In fact, Latino voters, and I told him this too, Latino voters in Philadelphia gave him a great victory. Philadelphia Inquirer has this. Some Pennsylvania Latino voters overlooked Donald Trump's platforming of inflammatory remarks in favor of his promises on the economy, while Kamala Harris voters are grappling with disappointment. But don't you love the unbiased, useless Philadelphia Inquirer? They wonder why this paper is going extinct. I heard Tony Bruno the other morning say that they were having, a flash sale, 6 months for a dollar. 6 months for a dollar of the Philadelphia Inquirer. The Star-Ledger's done. They closed up shop. They're closing up shop, New Jersey. These papers are done. Part of the reason is because their leftist bias is so incredibly front and center. People see right through it. I mean, think about the phrasing of this. Some Pennsylvania voters, Latino, overlooked Donald Trump's platforming of inflammatory remarks in favor of his promises on the economy. Not exactly objective, is it? Sitting on a stoop with friends along the city's North Wyoming Street corridor Wednesday morning, Carlos Pagan, 73, said he voted for Vice President Kamala Harris, but described his mood as being contento, the Spanish word for glad. He's a registered Democrat. He's Puerto Rican and Dominican, lamented his support for Harris. That was a mistake of mine. The country would have gone backward. Wow. For Pagan and many others in Hazleton, where former President Donald Trump won by 25 percentage points, the cost of food, gas, and rent topped the list for why they support the former president, even some who didn't wind up voting for him. Many Latino voters in Pennsylvania set aside Trump's incendiary rhetoric against their community or their disdain for his personality in favor of the GOP candidate's promises on the economy. First of all, what incendiary rhetoric against their community? These are American citizens. Trump has never used incendiary rhetoric against them. But what they're trying to do is to suggest that when Trump talks about illegal immigrants, because many of them happen to be Latino, that therefore that's their community. And what the Latino voters say is, that's not my community. Those people don't live in my country. They're not American citizens. And they're flooding my country and flooding the border. And I want it to stop. The Democrats can't figure this out. That the Latino voters in this country, are American citizens. And they don't want illegal immigrants flooding their streets and their towns. They don't want to pay for this. They want it to stop. They are not part of that community. These are Americans. This is what the left doesn't get. They can't grasp this. It's amazing to me how they cannot grasp this. Actually, it's not amazing to me. They only see people by the color of their skin and their race, and that's it. And they refuse to understand that they are individuals. They're individuals. Not members of a group. They are individual people. Carlos Panagan, whatever his name is, that guy is an individual. Trump has never made incendiary rhetoric against him or anyone who's Latino in this country. In fact, it's the opposite. He has never insulted supporters of Kamala Harris, whereas the Democrat side called us garbage, deplorables, and everybody else. And guess what? For the black voters and Latino voters who voted for Trump, they're deplorable garbage too. deplorable garbage, deplorable garbaggio. Latino voters had, there was no incendiary rhetoric against their community. The incendiary rhetoric, if you even want to call it that, is against illegal immigrants who are flooding this border. And the reason why Trump did so well with Latino voters, winning blue Passaic County, New Jersey, for example, is because Latino voters want it to stop. They don't want crime. They also don't want the indoctrination of their kids in schools. They don't want dudes with penises playing against their little girls in women's sports. They want their values to be upheld and protected, their religious freedom to be protected. The left doesn't understand any of this. None of it. And they never will. They only see them as by the color of their skin. Others who backed Harris expressed dismay the day after the election at Latino support for a candidate who has platformed disparaging remarks against their community. "I just don't understand how Latinos voted for him," said Frank Morales, 61, of Norris Square in Philadelphia, particularly after comedian Tony Hinchcliffe had likened Puerto Rico to a floating island of garbage during Trump's last rally at Madison Square Garden. Well, I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, most people did not give a damn about what a comedian said, and it was a comedian. It wasn't Donald Trump. Trump didn't call Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. And look, like I told you, I never would have had a roast comic at a political rally. Never. Not in a million years. Even Joe Rogan told him not to make that joke. But most people were smart enough to figure out, hey, even if I was offended by that, and I wish people would never be offended by jokes, honestly, because they're just freaking jokes. But even if they were, they turn around, they go, all right, I'm still voting for the guy. It's like if there was a roast comic who called Italy, a boot of mafia corruption and, grease balls, olive oil dripping down a floating, a peninsula of olive oil or whatever. Mobsters, dead bodies, and olive oil. Would have been like, oh, first of all, I think it's kind of funny, actually. And then I would have said, it has no bearing on my life whatsoever. None. And that's what the majority of Latino voters said. The overwhelming majority of Latino voters said. Are you going to find one who's offended? Of course you will, because the left is offended by freaking everything. Let's see here now. Both the Trump and Harris campaigns understood the importance of courting Pennsylvania's more than 600,000 eligible Latino voters in the lead up to November 5th. The day before the election, Trump and Harris converged on Reading, Pennsylvania, city with the most Latino residents. Trump held a rally at the Santander Arena while Harris stopped at a local Puerto Rican restaurant with U.S. Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Governor Josh Shapiro. The Trump campaign opened outreach offices in communities of color, celebrating. You see, this is part of the problem, too, that the Inquirer refers to and the left refers to them as communities of color. That in and of itself sounds racist, doesn't it? But that's how they view people. It's the DEI leftist nonsense that people are fed up with. I had a comment from somebody today, a friend of mine, who is very depressed about Trump's victory, and I've been trying to talk her off the ledge all day because I have friends on both sides of the aisle because I'm an incredibly nice guy. And she said this. She said, I heard a friend of mine who said to me, he voted for Kamala, but texted after and said something like, the only joy I get right now is seeing all of our DEI training emails and thinking, F off left, we are done with you. If that causes some of the pendulum to swing back, maybe it was all worth it. Don't discount the pendulum of how far freaking left this is and how they've turned workplaces into where you got to walk on eggshells around people all the time. You can't compliment them in any way, shape, or form. You can't. Some people just keep their heads down now. It's like a war zone because of all the DEI training, the unconscious bias, and how your guilt, your white guilt and everything else you got to deal with, and the systemic oppression and the racist hierarchy and the blah, 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 blah. All that crap came from faculty lounges. All that crap spewed in faculty lounges by elitist leftists out of touch with the working people of this country who never have to worry about their job because they have tenure and they're good. And the price of college keeps rising because they keep filling those seats because of government student loans and those professors keep getting raises and they're good. But they come up with theories and theses. They come up with these things and they write big papers about the systemic heteronormative blah, 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 blah of America. They do this all the time and they don't understand why they're out of touch with people. Trump has categorized Latinos as criminals, saying that Mexico was not sending their best. Okay, let's understand that. Let's unpack that for a second. He's not saying Latinos are criminals. He's saying illegal immigrants from Mexico are criminals. And they are, because they're coming into our country illegally. And Trump's not referring to the ones who are coming into our country legally. And how is it that a Latino American citizen, in the eyes of the Inquirer, is linked to an illegal immigrant in Mexico? I mean, if an illegal Italian was sneaking across the border and they go, Trump has said Italians are criminals, I'd be like, no, he didn't. He said the illegal Italian sneaking over the border is a criminal, and he is. I'm not a criminal, and he's not referring to me, and he's not referring to my people. In fact, South Philadelphia Italians would love him either way, regardless. Even if that illegal Italian was smuggling in gabagool, they would still say he should not be able to come here. He's not part of my community. I'm an American citizen. My grandfather came in this country the right way through Ellis Island. He didn't sneak over the border. But the Inquirer only looks at the Latinos in Philadelphia and Reading and everywhere else as no different than an illegal Mexican immigrant sneaking over the border. How freaking racist is that? You think about it. How racist is that? They disregard the fact these are American taxpaying citizens. Trump did not refer to them as criminals. That is an absolute categorical lie by the Inquirer. Trump did not refer to Latinos as criminals. He referred to illegal immigrants as criminals. Whether they happen to be Latino or not is inconsequential. Yet his candidacy resonated more with Latino voters now than in the past, particularly with Latino men. Oh, and this is also where they're going to correlate that Latino men happen to be misogynistic and that the only reason why they wouldn't vote for Kamala Harris is because she's a woman. You know what I mean? Republican State Senator Dave Argel, whose district includes Hazleton, said Trump's gains in the Luzerne County city were a result of community building begun even before Trump narrowly won the area in 2020. Argel wasn't surprised to hear about the calculations some Latino voters made, reconciling at times dispiriting remarks about them with the idea that Trump called for a better economy. It's not just Hispanic voters. I think that's true across the gamut. Hispanic voters in particular are more likely than other demographics to say the economy is their most important issue, which bode favorably for Trump. And Pennsylvania's uneven economic recovery after the pandemic was poised to help Trump, who has capitalized on inflation and the rising price of goods. In the 114 majority Latino precincts in Philadelphia, Trump's share of the vote in the last three elections grew from 6.1% in 2016 to 15.3% in 2020 to 21.8% in 2024. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? On an abnormally warm November morning in Centro de Oro, a heavily Latino neighborhood in North Philly, voters offered conflicting feelings about Trump's Pennsylvania victory, acknowledging that some of these mixed emotions divided families. I think you get the point, but look, the bottom line is this. I mean, Trump crushed it with a Latino vote, and the left cannot understand this. They cannot understand how Trump did so well. He set a record with Latino voters, a record. President-elect Donald Trump was backed by 46% of Latino voters Tuesday, surpassing Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush to win the biggest share of the national Latino vote by a Republican presidential contender in modern times. Trump's historic gains among Latino voters in a range of demographic voting blocks, particularly men, helped push Vice President Harris to the worst showing among Latinos for a Democratic presidential candidate in 20 years. And of course, since this is Axios reporting this, they write the same crap as the Inquirer does, that Latino voters looked past Trump's racist rhetoric. The left will never understand this. Trump did not use any racist rhetoric towards Latino American citizens, none whatsoever. Never. Not one time. Not one time. 55% said they voted for him compared to 38% of Latinas. I'd like to know how many of these Latinos voted for him because they were at one point referred to as Latinx. Seriously. I wonder if they use that. Is one of the questions, the criteria, because some jackass, overpaid professor in a classroom came up with the term Latinx to describe them. And they're like, I'm not freaking Latinx. Or as my buddy, who's a Latina comedian, once said, I'd rather you call me a blank, the S word for Hispanics, than Latinx. Trump's overall support among Latinos surpassed the 44% then President George W. Bush, a Texan, received in 2004. President Reagan took 37% of Latino vote in 1980 and 34% in 1984. Harris won 52% of the Latino vote, tied for the worst performance by a Democrat since John Kerry in 2004, and well below the 64% share that Democrat candidates typically have needed in the past half century to win the presidency. Democrats failed to give Latinos a clear economic message while Trump focused on it in all of his rallies and commercials. University of Houston political science professor Geronimo Cortina tells Axios, Latinos were saying, I don't care what Trump says. I want to be able to pay the bills. I want to be able to send my kid to college. I want to pay the mortgage to afford a new car. Exactly. They want the American dream like everybody else because they're American citizens. They're American citizens first and Latinos second. And the left can't understand that. The left cannot grasp that in their head, that these people are American citizens first and foremost, and they are Latinos second. Because the left just sees them all in the same box. The same basket. Just a basket of Latinos. Unwilling to see that these are individual human beings who think the term Latinx is freaking ridiculous. Latinos want the American dream, and they didn't think Kamala Harris was selling it to them. Latinos, like all Americans who voted for Trump, want the American dream. They want to be rich. They want to be successful. They don't want to have to wake up every day and worry about their bills. They want to be able to afford nice homes in nice, safe communities, raise their kids right, not have their kids indoctrinated by woke leftist crap. And then they want to send their kids to colleges that won't indoctrinate their kids with woke leftist crap. They want to go to church on Sunday, but be able to live their lives according to their religion all 7 days of the week without somebody telling them it's confined to the 1 hour they're in the pew. Shocking that the left can't figure this out. But Trump could, and he did, and he talked to these people as human beings, as individuals. And he didn't talk it down to them. He didn't call them names. He never used any racist rhetoric against them. Never. Ever. Never. And how dare Axios and the Philadelphia Inquirer compare an American citizen who happens to be Latino to an illegal immigrant sneaking over our border? How dare they do that? It's horribly racist. Racist to the core. Same thing with Axios here. Harris's struggle to attract Latino voters was particularly evident in some of the politically divided swing states that helped determine the election. In Michigan, for example, Trump won a whopping 58% of Latino voters compared to just 39% for Harris, according to the Edison poll. Harris and Trump tied among Latino voters in North Carolina and Nevada. Trump also made further inroads with Latinos in areas once dominated by Democrats. Trump beat Harris 51-49 in Hidalgo County in South Texas, a Mexican-American stronghold that Biden won with 58% of the vote in 2020. In Cameron County, at the southern tip of the Texas's Rio Grande Valley, Trump beat Harris 53-47. Biden won that county with 56% of the vote 4 years ago. You think maybe when the federal government went in and took down the razor wire that the state of Texas was putting up to keep everybody in their state, including the Latino voters, safe from illegal immigrants, drug cartels, and the people bringing fentanyl over and the sex smuggling that is now a billion-dollar industry? You think those voters in those counties were upset? You damn right they were. That's why they voted for Donald Trump. Boom. Andrew Smith, an assistant professor of political science at the University of Texas Rio Grande, says South Texans have long been socially conservative and that Trump's messaging on the economy and immigration landed well there. I think what you're seeing nationally is something that's been going on in South Texas for years. This idea that the Democrat Party does not align with their values. For example, ideas such as expanding the social safety net for a lot of Latinos who have had to work their butts off to get here, that's antithetical to them. Well, that egghead professor is actually correct in that point. But isn't it amazing how they always go to professors? Hey, this is part of the problem. The corporate media always goes to academia for all of their ideas, for all of their analysis. Another UTRGV professor, Alvaro J. Corral, grew up in the Valley and says that although he expected Trump to make more inroads with Latinos, he's surprised by the magnitude of the shift. I think this is really a story of the headwinds that were obviously too much to overcome for Democrats structurally and with the economy. He adds that most Latinos in South Texas are in the working class and that even inflation that's trending downward is still not good. Shocking. And yet Jimmy Kimmel was crying. This is why these people don't get it. This is why these people will never get it.
Let's be honest. It was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night for women, for children, for the hundreds of thousands of hardworking immigrants who make this country go, for healthcare, for our climate, for science, for journalism, for justice, for free speech. It was a terrible night for poor people, for the middle class, for seniors who rely on Social Security, for our allies in Ukraine, for NATO, for the truth. Let's be honest, it was a terrible night last night. It was a terrible night.
It was a terrible night for the left, for leftist elite academics, and pompous ass, overpaid, not funny comedians like Jimmy Kimmel. It was a great night for working men and women in this country, no matter what their race. Dr. Mike Venneri is going to give you a great smile, a beautiful smile. And coming up on this Saturday, November 9th, his annual Veterans Breakfast and Community Shredding event in his office in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Go see him today and join him on Saturday from 9 to 12. Coffee, cake, donuts, breakfast, pizza. Salute our veterans and bring all those documents that you want shredded. And he'll shred them for you for free. And if you need a smile, if you need a beautiful smile, then there's no one better than Dr. Mike Venneria, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenneriaDental.com. He's been recognized among his peers for the last 12 years as a master of dental implants. So go see him today and join him on Saturday. And if you've had a consultation for complicated dental implants or another dental implant or dental procedure, I should say, just get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. It's so worth it. Trust me when I tell you that. It is so worth it. He's the best. He's a great guy. He's a great, great guy. Dr. Mike Venneria, VenneriaDental.com. Saturday's his Veterans Breakfast, VenneriaDental.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yes, indeed. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm excited because 1 week from yesterday, we're going to be together with Jimmy Failla on stage for our Talk Radio 1210 WPHT Politics and Pints. I'm looking at the page. There are not a lot of tickets left. You really want to go there right now at 1210WPHT.com, 1210WPHT.com. So you should check it out, right? And get your tickets now. $50. I mean, it's worth it. A night of laughs. A night of laughs. Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. But, Trump crushed it. Like I told you on the show the other day, I knew he was going to win. I didn't think it was going to be close. I told that to Dana Perino and Bill Hemmer. I said that to Carly Shimkus that morning of the election. I just didn't want to get anybody to not vote. I didn't want to build up expectations so that people would stay home. I didn't want to do any of that. But she was the worst candidate ever. I mean, the freaking worst candidate ever I have ever seen in my life. In my life. But I'll tell you what, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Philly did great. Philly did great for President Trump. He really did. And I'll tell you something. You got a lot of people right now thinking about New Jersey as a swing state, like we talked about with Matt Rooney. You got a lot of people right now who are looking at Philadelphia and thinking to themselves, can we change this city? Can this city change? Is that possible? Is that something that can actually be a thing? To win Pennsylvania, Donald Trump did exactly what he needed to do in Philly, improved slightly. He captured about 20% of the votes citywide and increased his support in working class communities across racial groups, exactly like I told him. Exactly like I told him on the phone that day. I said, Mr. President, you are doing really great in Philadelphia with working class people and the Latino voters. And that reassured him that night. Look, that was an honor to be the only call he did that night, the only radio call in Pennsylvania. Maybe the only call he did across the country. I don't know, but it was an honor. Really, truly an honor. I mean, it's amazing he called the show, but it's not amazing because he understands the power of the audience. You got a hell of an audience, you know? You got a hell of an audience. President-elect Donald Trump won 1 out of 5 Philadelphia voters in one of the strongest performances by a Republican presidential candidate in the deep blue city in years, doing so by increasing his support in working class communities across racial groups. Despite winning Philadelphia handily, Vice President Kamala Harris failed to capture enough votes in the city where registered Democrats outnumber Republicans 7-1 to offset Republican gains elsewhere in the state, a key factor in Trump's decisive statewide win. Harris was carrying the city with about 78% of the vote compared to Trump's 20%. Now, her margin right now is the lowest margin for a Democratic presidential candidate in Philadelphia in more than 2 decades. The rightward trend was reflected throughout the country, including in other big cities, and Trump improved on his 2020 performance in every state that had counted most of its votes. All told, Philadelphia was on pace to shift about 2 percentage points to the right. Turnout was roughly flat compared to 2020, lower than Democrats had hoped. Harris was on track to receive at least 50,000 fewer votes in the city than President Joe Biden won in 2020. Not as many dead people voted this time around. "I don't know what happened," said city council member Jim Harrity, who works with the state and city Democratic Party. "I'm dazed and confused, to say the least. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. We had so many extra people in here doing all this work, and to be honest, it didn't seem to sway anybody." But Republicans said they know exactly what happened. City voters were more frustrated with the status quo than Democrats thought. And Harris didn't separate herself from Biden enough to convince the electorate she could change course. Trump's biggest base of support in the city is with white working class voters. As of Wednesday, he was winning outright in 5 of the city's 66 political wards, all of them majority white. And he carried about 30% of the vote citywide in majority white precincts. And as was the case in 2020, Trump's strongest performance in Philadelphia was in the city's northeast. But the Republicans' most significant growth was with the Latino voters who have been drifting from the Democratic Party in Philadelphia over the last 2 election cycles. Trump carried 21% of the vote in the city's majority Latino precincts, a 15 percentage point increase compared to 2016. Trump improved his margin slightly in Philadelphia's majority black neighborhoods, carrying 6% in those precincts compared to 2.6% 8 years ago. Across the city, Trump's support increased most in precincts where incomes were lowest. That reality could bolster Republicans' analysis that the city voters were primarily concerned with inflation and rising prices, which have a disproportionate impact on the working class and are broadly associated with the incumbent. That's right. That's why they're not crying today like Jimmy Kimmel is, a freaking grown man crying. They're not crying today. No, they're happy today. I'll tell you something else, too. Like, this snarky political analyst, this woman, she goes to this liquor store. She tells a story of her champagne toast. Oh, this is great. She's a political analyst. This is a typical white elitist. You got to hear this. This is one of my favorite things. Listen to this.
Okay, so we're closing in on almost 5 p.m. Eastern time, and I've been tracking everything that's been going on across the country today. And my most important encounter was when I went out to get my champagne. I was talking to the guy in the store, of course, asking him, did he vote? And he said he did early voting, and he asked me if I early voted. He asked me, you know, why I was getting the champagne, and I said, because I'm going to be toasting Madam President tonight. And he just looked at me with kind of like a smirk on his face, and I said, you know, she's going to win this, right? And he says, oh, well, it's very, very close. And I said, no, it's not. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, no, it's not. The women of America are making their voices heard.
First of all, let's understand something here. This Karen, this woman's like a caricature. The guy at the liquor store is trying to be nice. He's trying to just be nice, and she's a customer, and he doesn't want to, you know what I mean? So he's a Trump voter. He's a Trump voter, and he's just trying to be nice. She can't help herself. This is what I mean about these Karens. And forgive me, Karen Thomas, because I don't mean you, obviously. It's just a term, you know. But these women who back, they cannot help themselves. They have to inject themselves in every situation. They cannot leave anything alone. Do you notice that? They can't leave anything alone. He doesn't care. He's just, get your champagne and go home. But they have to lecture, and they can't help themselves. That's why you know who they were. That's why the myth of this surge of white working white college educated women was a fugazi, because they were already telling everybody they were with her. People like this, I guarantee you, this woman probably has a postgraduate degree. That's not even the best part of this yet, though. Listen to this.
Reproductive rights is what it all comes down to, and the women are voting in numbers relative to men that are unbelievable. She's won this. And I said to him, she's going to take every one of the swing states plus Iowa. And he said, oh, but the numbers are so close. I said, I'm a political analyst. I'm telling you right now, the numbers are there. She's taking this election. And then I said to him, you realize, and he didn't tell me who he voted for, but of course I knew. And I said, you do realize you wasted your vote, right? And I didn't care. I walked out with my bottle of champagne and happily walked home. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I mean, right? Don't you hate? I hate her. I hate her, but I'm so glad. I'm so glad that clip, somebody sent that to me this morning, and I love it. This is just the arrogance, right? The elitism, the way she looks down on this guy. The way she thinks she knows everything, knows better than him, that he's this, you know, uneducated rube. She's a political analyst. Laughing in his face, telling him he wasted his vote, mocking him, belittling him. This woman is the walking embodiment of the Democrat Party. This is your problem, Democrats. This is your problem. This woman is a walking embodiment of what your problem is. It's her. She's the problem. Snarky, arrogant, elitist, looking down on the hardworking guy at the liquor store, mocking the guy, belittling the guy. She makes a whole lot more money than that guy does. And she thinks she knows better and just takes her champagne. I mean, and again, you know, and this guy's drinking a beer. She's got her champagne. And I walked out. That's your problem, Democrats. That's your problem. Listen, DuckDuckGo is going to protect your privacy. Their three-in-one privacy suite, Privacy Pro, is outstanding. It's great. First of all, the VPN. You know, even though I'm home today at the Zioli studio, I still have the VPN because Xfinity is my internet provider. I don't want them knowing what I'm looking at, what I'm shopping for. I don't want anyone to know. I want privacy. That's what DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro does. You get the VPN. And there's a lot of VPNs out there, but this is the DuckDuckGo VPN, so it's legit. A lot of those other VPNs are fugazis. They store your data. DuckDuckGo does not. It's all encrypted. In addition to that, you get personal identity theft restoration. If your identity is ever stolen, DuckDuckGo will restore it for you. And they also have personal information removal, which is great and something very important to me. I don't want my address, my phone number, any of that online. DuckDuckGo Privacy Pro helps eliminate that as well. And you get all that for only $9.99 a month. That's right. $10 a month. A three-in-one privacy suite. It's actually $100 for the year if you sign up for the year, which is so worth it. But you get a 7-day free trial at duckduckgo.com/1210. Duckduckgo.com/1210. Do it today. You will absolutely 100% love the privacy you get. And it's essential in this day and age. You gotta have it. Duckduckgo.com/1210.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
All right, just to recap the two big stories of the day today, Dave McCormick, the race has been called for him. He will be Senator Dave McCormick. However, the lesser Casey, still not conceding, pathetic. The other one is that the Trump campaign has announced that Susie Wiles will be the chief of staff for the incoming administration. That means President-elect Donald Trump has named her chief of staff. She's the first woman chief of staff in history, and that's huge. And despite what the jackass Mark Cuban said, this means now that Trump is not afraid being surrounded by strong, intelligent women. And he never has been. Susie Wiles ran the campaign and ran a phenomenal campaign, did a great job. So that's that. That's great news right there. Caroline Leavitt tweeted it out. She's my pick for press secretary. I hope she gets it. She's a sweetheart of a person, bright and a fierce fighter. I hope she gets it. Liberals are giving advice on people how to leave the country.
Here's some of the easiest ways to leave the country as an American. Mm-hmm. Sorry, guys. I simply cannot smile at the moment. It's been a long 24 hours. If you're under 30, consider the Australia or New Zealand working holiday visa. Granted, this is a temporary fix, but Australia allows American citizens up.
Oh, sorry, keep going there.
To 3 years on a working holiday, and New Zealand offers one. So that could realistically get you through the next four. These visas are both really easy to apply for. They cost around $450. I personally did a year in Australia. I have a lot of videos about that. I'm happy to tag you if you need more info. Mm-hmm. If you have a way to make an income online, consider a digital nomad visa. Lots of different countries offer this. It's typically a one-year stay. For this option, I would look into countries like Portugal, Costa Rica, or Albania. Mm. Another option you can consider is teaching English in another country. Now, granted, this is going to be a lot easier if you do have a college degree, but there are some countries that allow you to work as an English teacher without a degree. Mm. Just get your TEFL certificate online. It typically just takes a few weeks to complete that. And if you don't have a degree, I would recommend looking into countries in Southeast Asia or Eastern Europe.
Okay, so there's lots of different ways for you to leave the country if you are depressed. And maybe we could tell some of that to our celebrity friends who are all looking to leave the country in their private jets.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.